live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Oh, hello, everybody there. You wonderful, wonderful people. How the devil are you? Are you good? I do hope so. What have you been doing in the meantime and in between time of the shows? As you know, we went to a musical fireworks extravaganza in Southport, which is a little seaside resort in the northwest of England. Yes, full of pensioners and people like us with deck chairs, thermos flasks and everything wintry and autumny. And it was very good, although it was sadly cancelled on the Friday. But we didn't have tickets for that, so sod ya, we. No, it was sad for everyone who did have tickets, but we didn't, so sod ya, we. We did for the Saturday and the Sunday, though, and it was brilliant, yeah. They like do it to music, so you know, like, voulez-vous, diddle-a-do, and it was amazing. We had a ball. And then we went to a quiz afterwards, which we do every year, and I got drunk and fell asleep, and Becca let me sleep because I was being a bit of a knob. And when she woke me up, I apparently demanded to know where Mark was, who's my best friend, who wasn't there, and our dog that we co-owned, apparently, called Splinter. Yeah, so I had a good 10 minutes kicking off where Mark and Splinter were. NB, neither he nor our mythical dog was there. So needless to say, the following morning, I was a bit tender and in the doghouse, in Splinter's doghouse. So yeah, if you've got a mythical dog you'd like to tell me about, I'm joking. If you've got ghost stories, of course, this is how the podcast runs. You send them in, I read them out. We've had some amazing, amazing stories, and I'm being genuinely truthful. They are terrifying. They are perfectly apt for an October Saturday morn, as it is here. It's actually afternoon. But it is October, and we are going to tell scary stories. So that part, accurate. So send them in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. You can get us on the Twitter @talkaboutghosts. Get us on Instagram, Facebook. Go join the lovely Facebook community. Loads of lovely people joining each day. And I will say they're lovely. I've not had to ban anyone yet, except for that one woman who said, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. And then she joined and was like, hi, everybody, please buy my tarot readings. And we were like, nah, you know what? Go away. And she went away. And that's the joy of having questions to answer before you can join. Actually, it didn't work that time, so I lie. Anyway, I do hope you're all fantastic. We are looking at venues, etc., for the Halloween specials, which is coming up, obviously, at Halloween. We've got those three big episodes. So we're going to have the normal one, like I say, the weekend before Halloween. I think Halloween falls on the Wednesday. Have I got that right? Should I do a quick check as I'm talking? It's either Wednesday or the Thursday. Let me see. Get the old phone out. It's a Thursday. So we're going to release the weekend before's episode as normal. Probably be a lot of prep. Probably me and Becca on that show talking about the upcoming episodes. Then Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to have three episodes. I cannot wait for them. I cannot divulge too much about them. Probably because no one's come back to confirm yet where we can go. But they're going to be great. The Monday episode is going to be that stories one I've told you about where I'm going to go around and interview people, which will be a first for the show. Tuesdays is going to be location and Wednesdays is going to be location. And it's going to be bloody great. We're obviously going to have to do them in advance as well. So me and Becca, get on this. Me and Becca had a meeting this morning, genuinely. I mean, I know we could have just done it in the kitchen, but we said, no, let's try and be professional about this. So we went and had our breakfast, and then we went to a coffee shop in Liverpool city centre called Rococo. I strongly recommend it. Free advertising there. We went and sat there with two pads, two pens, and a big pot of tea. I went, right, we need to start putting some things down here. And then it extrapolated from that, and it turns out now Becca's the manager of me and the show. And it's serious. I'm being genuinely serious. Like, she's going off this week to look at website design. And she's really good at stuff like that. You know, I'm bloody diabolical. I really am. I can just about get this out once a week because I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. How high-pitched do I go when I'm serious? Very, very. But yeah, so that's an exciting turnabout. God knows, next week it'll probably be a new logo, a new snazzy theme tune. Like, you know, in Wayne's World, when they get took over by the cable show, and it's all like luminous lights and neon lights, and they've been sponsored by Coca-Cola or whatever. It might be like that. It probably won't be like that. Anyway, none of this is spooky. Oh my God, amazingly. I woke up feeling quite good today, and then we had a one-star review. One stars. And you know what? That's all the airtime that's getting, because don't dwell on the negatives. But yeah, one star. Bit of a kick in the teeth. And then I thought, nah, it's not. You've got nothing better to do. So yeah, let's show them that this isn't a one-star show. And how are we going to show them that? By your scary stories, of course. Scary stories. Please let me know as well what you're planning on doing for Halloween. Send that to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. So, in the meantime, and in between time, I don't know why I'm saying that. Is this a new catchphrase? It's a crappy catchphrase, isn't it? And here comes Kevin. Hey, everybody. In the meantime and in between time. Yeah, that's me. Anyway, should we get on with a good story? Yes, let's. And this is from Tara Bradley. And it's called The Haunted Apartment. I won't do it in an accent. It's okay. Here we go. When I was first married, about 15 years ago, we lived on the top floor of an apartment complex in Ogden, Utah. The apartment complex was directly across the street from one of the biggest cemeteries in the city. I've always had a fascination with the paranormal and still do to this day. I've always been sensitive and have witnessed some crazy things I can't explain, but this one takes the cake. Things started off slowly from little whispers, then got more intense, like pictures falling off the wall, and then the voices and growling. Well, that's ominous, isn't it? One afternoon, I was taking a nap and got into bed to relax. I was almost asleep when I heard a male voice, plain as day, say, "Hello, little girl." That's horrible. She even puts, "Ah," in brackets after it. And I think we can all agree, the bride looks. No, I think we can all agree that's bloody terrifying. "Hello, little girl." It seemed like the activity was more active after my husband at the time would leave for work in the morning. I was laying in bed and my newborn son was in the other room asleep. I heard what sounded like walking in the front room area. Then in brackets he says, the apartment had really creaky floors when somebody walked on them. I called out to see if my husband had left or if he was still home. No response. I laid my head back down and listened, and then the creaking floors started coming down the hallway and stopped by my bedroom. My heart at this point was pounding and I'm questioning, I am asleep or is this really happening right now? Then, right outside the door, I hear whispers. FYI, I'm shitting myself here. Becca's gone for the bloody shop, and I am alone with me back to a door. So, anyway, be brave, Kevin. Be brave, young man, be brave. Outside the door, I hear whispers. I literally threw the covers up over my head, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I felt this rush of energy like someone running into the room. I heard a growling and deep breathing. I'm under the covers so I could only hear and gauge where it was. It was like it ran into my room, went around my bed and out the master bedroom window. It was gone. That's horrible. I lay there petrified and didn't dare to look out of the covers for fear it was something either going to be staring back at me or was going to kill me. Ugh. I rushed out of my bed, grabbed my flip-flops, you need them to face the undead, and my son from his crib. Well, you do need him. I didn't return until that evening when my father-in-law came with me and blessed the apartment. I later found out that a murder had occurred on this property of a little girl. You know, pardon my French. We moved out about 3 months later, and I kid you not, 1 month later, this building burned to the ground. They've since rebuilt it, but I can't drive by there without remembering that morning. I will never forget that day or feeling as long as I live. I hope you enjoyed this story. Smiley face. Love the podcast and your accent. Ooh, thank you. Take care and see you on the other side. She didn't spell that, because how the bloody hell would you spell that? She just put side. I made the rest up. And that's from Tara. That is terrifying. And you may think it was a bit of a overkill to bleep out that swear word, but it was also a bit unnecessary on my behalf. I do apologise. I will keep necessary swearing in. And don't get me wrong, that was terrifying. But there's a time and a place. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of swearing in the Halloween episodes. Thank you, Tara, for sending that in. That is horrible. Hello, little girl. There is never a good time to hear that. I cannot think of one single scenario where you hear a whispered, "Hello, little girl," and it's a good thing. Think of one, can you? I can't. No? Unless you've got a very frail granddad looking for a lost little girl and he doesn't want to scare her. Then I will accept, "Hello, little girl." That's the only time. Any other time, it's either a paedophile or a pedophile, if you're American, a murderer, or in this case, a ghost who likes to run across bedrooms and dive out of windows like he's in U2 or some rock group. Being very current there with my rock group statuses. Yes. Well, Tara, thank you. That was bloody terrifying and phenomenal. Let's have another. Now, this one's coming from Michelle Collins, who's a regular contributor to the show. You'll remember, she sent it, well, she goes on to tell us in the email. So I'll just read it out, eh? So this is from Michelle Collins. Thank you, Michelle. I emailed you a while back about the house I grew up in, some weird things that were happening at my house. The little girl ghost and the toy boat. Do you remember those, folks? I certainly do. So now, some weird things are happening in my classroom. People always joke about the school being haunted. There's nothing better than a haunted school, is there? I don't think so. That's me saying that. Anyway, people always joke the school's haunted, and I figured it was just because it's so creepy without the students there. The students bring so much joy and lightheartedness when they're here that it feels a little empty and sad without them. Aw, what a good teacher. Turns out I was probably wrong. Oh no. I'm a special education teacher. Well done. God bless you. God bless. God bless her. Thank you. So I have small groups in my room at a time, sometimes one kid at a time. 2 days ago, I was working with a student and we started hearing very soft music. At first, we thought somebody in the hallway or somebody playing the music in the cafeteria on the other side of the wall. It got a little bit louder and we finally realised it was coming from somewhere within the classroom. We checked my computer to make sure that I didn't have anything pulled up that would be putting music out through the speakers in the ceiling, because it sounded like it was coming out by where they are located. There was no programs on it. We finally figured out that another student had left his backpack in the room and it was his phone. Okay, problem solved. Now, we were working for a good 15 minutes before the music started and nobody'd gone near the backpack. When I pulled out the phone, we discovered that the iTunes app was open and everything. Somebody or something must have hit play to start it. That's a very good point, actually. I was mocking it to say, oh, problem solved. Yes, are nice, Malky. But in truth, it's a very good point. If it wasn't on for 15 minutes, unless he'd press play and he's got a track called 15 Minutes of Silence to waste your battery on, then, yeah, it's a good point. Someone must have started that. Very good point, Michelle. Later on in the day, I was working with a group of students on some math. We call it maths here. Anyway, and I worked, and I had a video pulled up to watch once my lesson was over. I was sitting at a table away from my computer and the projector, and I said, okay guys, let's clean up and watch the video. As soon as I said it, the video started to play on its own. Nobody was near anything that could have pressed play. A couple of hours later, a co-worker and I had two groups going. The students and both of us heard a weird noise coming from over on my desk. We all paused to look and then went back to work. A couple of minutes later, my phone fell off my desk. Again, nobody was anywhere near to do this. Yesterday, there wasn't much that happened, but my desk drawer... I like the way you put that. Thanks for letting us know. Oh, no, listen. But my desk drawer was randomly open during the day. We also have a lamp in the back of the room that keeps flickering. Today, my son decided to talk to it. To it? Bloody hell. I guess he was inspired by our boat incident. Ha ha. She's put that in brackets. She didn't put the ha ha, just that sentence. I share the classroom with two other people and we all watch the light flicker for yes and not do anything for no. Oh, I see. He was like using it for divination. That's terrifying. So, freaking creepy, she says. And I agree. I have a video on my phone that I'm going to try and email you. Yes, get it. Once I have a better signal, as I'm emailing you from work, from my work computer in this creepy room. When you watch it, you'll have to watch the ceiling above the lamp to see the flickering. I wish I could remember what it was that he asked it. But on the video, he's asking if it will keep going if I turn off the video. And then it stops once he turns around and tells it to at the end. He did ask it to flicker and stop several times whilst this was going on, and it did. He also said hello to it when he walked into the room later on in the day, and it flickered again. Oh, one more thing. I just found out that the custodians hate to come into my classroom to clean it because the lights are always coming on randomly and I've been going like that for a couple of years. Both overhead lights and lamps and over the course of several different people being assigned to this room. Michelle Collins. And then she's told me where she's from. I won't say that in case people hunt her down. In order to go to the school, of course, not for anything weird. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Please send that email of the video across. I cannot wait to see that. Anything paranormal like that. It's firsthand. I'm the first one receiving it. Hurrah! P.S. I do know that I've got like... I'm doing a lot of swallowing in this episode because I've actually got... I'm full of flu. You can't tell it by the nose because I'm using a Sinex thing. Yes, God, this is dull, isn't it? I've got the flu. I'm using a Sinex thing. How dull. That's very Kevin of me, isn't it? I'm Kevin. But yeah, I have. So I apologise. Not in advance, because I've just done it. I apologise. I just apologise. Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, should we have a midpoint? Yes, let's. Let's have a flu-infused midpoint. Nobody said ever. But let's do it regardless. Hooray!
Das geht uns überhaupt nicht mehr aus dem Kopf raus. Da.
Yes, sorry about that, everyone. That is some random German guy on YouTube singing along to some Europop. And I played that for two reasons. One, because I've been watching it on repeat about 17 times because he's insane. He actually might be, so this might be fucking awful. I won't bleep that out because that's valid, that swear word. Because if he is insane, then I feel terrible. But if he's not, then he's a wally. But yeah, he's singing along to some Europop there. And valid for two reasons, because that's bizarrely one of Becca's favourite songs. It's like some weird, obscure Romanian Europop from like 2001. And everywhere we go, she'll go over and go, like, I think it's called something like Agnosti. It's not this, and this sounds terrible, but it's called something like Agnosti Driggleback. And she'll go up to DJs and parties and be like, have you got Agnosti Driggleback? And they'll look at her and go, go away. Or go back to the Eastern Bloc, wherever you came from. It's bizarre. But you know what is the most bizarre thing about all this? About that song, actually, as we went for a walk, myself and Rebecca, in a forested area of Liverpool called Sefton Park. It's not that forested, but it's quite foresty. And we're just walking around, no one about, lovely natural walk. And out of nowhere, this is weird thinking about it, a lad of about six years, this is only 2 years ago, about 6 years of age, went past on a scooter, you know, like a little push scooter, and he was singing that. It must have been out 15 years before he was born, for one. For two, where's he heard it? Because, like, it, you know, God knows where Becca heard it from and now loves it. But he just went past going, la-dee-dee-dee, la-dee-dee-da. And I was like, Becca, that's a ghost. I strongly suggest that we just, like, set him on fire and run away. Obviously, we didn't do that because chances are he was just flesh and blood and we'd be done for murder. But yeah, that's the midpoint. The Western midpoint. And we've arrived solidly in the middle of the midpoint. Full of flu. Do send your stories over to me, please. I need more. I want more. Give me, feed me, see more. To talkaboutghosts at hotmail.com and I will read them out. Brilliant. Hooray. Thank you. And of course, we do need to say hello to our patrons. Our patrons are amazing. If you'd like to donate to the show to keep this going, go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Very simple. patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. There are several tiers that you can sign up to there to join the show, but each and every tier will get your name sung out as a thank you. Now, we've got a little bit of a backlog, so let's get to our patrons to sing. Is that even a sentence? Let's get to our patrons to sing. Let's get to singing the names of the patrons that are owed a song. That's much better. Uh-oh, we've got the guitar out. And this is for Carla Miller, who's gone over and signed up to the Excellist tier. Thank you, Carla Miller. This one's for you. Uh-oh, you know where this is going. Oh, yeah. Carla Miller, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. You've gone over and signed up today. Whoa, oh, oh. Carla Miller, thanks again for going over to Patreon, yeah, and signing up today. La 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 la. Couldn't keep the high note going there. Thank you, Carla. So if you want to be like Carla and have your name butchered by this person over here in Liverpool, then go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts, and I will butcher your name too. And if you're wondering what you will get for signing up, anyone who signs up to the $5 or above tier will also get an extra mini-sode. We're also looking at extra things that can come out to do videos and stuff like that. But yeah, and this week's, or this month's, new mini-sode has come out. And this is a little excerpt of what you'll be getting. Welcome to the Patreon episode number 3. Yes, we're outside. Yes, that's a building site. Kev is a man at work.
Boo.
Just pretending to be on the phone. Yeah, yeah. Really, the dog. Wow. 6 feet. That's a jump and a half. That. How did he manage that? Really? Weetabix.
Boo.
Well, thanks, David. That's very nice of you to come in and read that story about the giant worm. Thank you for the opportunity, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Boo.
Okay, so since people will sound like we're on either side of them.
Exactly.
Do you want to say dead good things and I'll say dead bad things?
Like
people on the shoulder.
Okay, yeah. Help the person across the street.
No, just sit back and watch.
That's not evil.
Oh,
tell you what, you say something good.
Yeah, I know, we should
you say something good. That's terrible.
You're going to be much better at
I
this.
I know, yeah. Go on, you say something nice. So, if you want to find out what my version of evil was on the next part of that, then go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts, and you'll get your name sang out and all that jazz. Anyway, we have two more amazing, amazing, terrifying stories. I shizzle you nizzle. And they're brilliant. They're just brilliant. Don't forget, get your stories over to us for Halloween. Talkaboutghosts at hotmail.com, and I will read them out. Yes. And these stories that we've got coming up are amazing. I can't wait to read them to you. So without further ado, I think I will. This first story has came in from Jenny. There's no title, and it goes like this. Hi, Kev. Love the show. Thank you. That's a car outside. God, I just pooed myself. Not literally, obviously. Figuratively, if you can do such a thing. Sorry, Jenny. Hi, Kev. Love the show. Just thought I'd email in with what happened to me in the apartment I lived in when I was a teenager, in brackets, a long time ago. I moved to Cyprus for holiday rep work. I was put in the digs with another girl who's from Oxford. Her name was Amy, and we remained friends after this experience until she died, and then in brackets, in somewhat suspicious circumstances, last year. Now, I'm not laughing at that, Jenny, I'm just laughing that you really need to put more than that in. Please send a second email titled Somewhat Suspicious Circumstances. Anyway, I continue. Unless, of course, it's horrific, which, you know, it's a death. It probably is. I apologise. Jesus, Kevin, dig yourself out of this hole. Anyway, I continue, moving swiftly on. Amy always believed she was psychic, but I never really believed her. Not even when she told me that the flat we were living in had an evil presence in the apartment and therefore had put a request in with the management company for a transfer. I, of course, was slighted by this, even though she was adamant her moving had nothing to do with me. I, in brackets at the time anyway, felt sure it was, and as I had not long arrived, felt very lonely and was now facing the prospect of living alone for the next month at least until a new flatmate was found. God bless you. This first week or so was fine. I was out most nights with other new starters and getting home a bit wasted, so slept soundly each night too. The following week, training started proper, so I decided to tone down the drinking and start having early nights so I could wake up fresh and make a good impression. Very good, Jenny, yes. Early evening was relatively okay. However, I usually woke up at least once a night to use the bathroom, in brackets even now, and this was when things started to happen. One night I was I woke as usual. Brackets, I left the bathroom light on to locate it at night. But on turning around, I was convinced that either the door was like 10% narrower or someone was stood to the left of the door frame, blocking the light. I had just woken up, so actually rubbed my eyes and looked again, this time a bit clearer, but everything looked normal. I went to the bathroom as usual, but when I came out to my bedroom, the bedroom door was open. Sorry, I should say that the bathroom was an ensuite. I spoke out, hello, nothing. I thought maybe Amy had returned drunk one night, forgetting she'd moved. Amy, I shouted, nothing. I didn't sleep that night. The next day, I saw Amy and she came over to say she had a dream where a man was chasing me throughout the apartment. What on earth? And suggested I move out. Good suggestion, Amy. Yes, please do so. Please move out immediately, post haste. Bet you didn't. Let me see. When Ham's chasing me through the apartment and suggested I move out, again expressing how her moving out wasn't personal and how she just felt something was off there. I didn't tell her about what I experienced, partly as I was still miffed with her and partly as I didn't want to admit that this was getting beyond coincidental. Nothing happened that next night, nor the night after. But the night after that, all hell broke loose. Dun dun dun! It started at 3 a.m. exactly. Oh, here we go. I'll explain how I know this. Fair enough, she's clearly listened to other episodes. There was a deafening bass sound, really low but really loud, coming from my stereo system. In brackets, this featured a red LED clock, hence me knowing the time. Fair enough, all us doubters, walk away. It continued until I got to the plug and yanked it out the wall. My heart was pounding as it woke me with a start as the entire room was shaking with it. With my ears still ringing, I just stood there in the pitch black waiting for my hearing to settle. In brackets, this put my anxiety levels through the roof as I kept thinking about what I couldn't hear, i.e. someone in the flat. Just as my senses returned to normal, I heard a click and noticed I could see the bathroom light under the bathroom door had gone off and the ensuite light had come on. I don't get that. Are they not both the same? Anyway, so a light come on or off, either by itself or by someone in there, and I didn't want to know either way. I bolted through the bedroom to the front door. The handle wouldn't move an inch. And in brackets, she says, there had been no issue with the door either. It had worked fine. I hammered on the door, screaming for what seemed like an age. Then I heard a voice outside. I repeatedly shouted for help until eventually one of my neighbours who heard me kicked the door in. Bloody hell. I garbled what had happened, and being a burly bloke, he went in to investigate whilst I waited outside. He came out and shrugged, said no one was in there, but he was chewing his nails. He paused and said, are you winding me up? Eh? How? I said, and he went on. Before I moved in, one of the lads said your flat was haunted, and I didn't believe them. It became a bit of a thing, a laugh, a wind-up. Do you know? He then reeled off a list of lads' names he thought I was in cahoots with. Great word. All as part of a prank on him! ! I was shocked. Who in their right mind would make this up? I tore a strip out of him and walked off. This story's great, as you can tell by me just getting into it. I couldn't go far as I had no front door. Fair enough. Seems legit. So I stood about 20 feet away with the apartment in sight. The guy had now gone and I was calling my manager to explain that I'd need the door fixing. As I was dialing, I looked across and my hall light was turning on and off quickly, almost a strobe effect shining out due to the lack of the door. That was it. Instead of just saying about the door, I told my manager everything, start to finish, even describing what was happening as I was on the phone with the light in the hall. She came out to meet me with a workman who began fixing the door. She said, let's go for a drink. So we headed off to the bar. As soon as we sat down, she put a set of keys on the table and said, you're moving immediately. Fair enough. It sounds like you do need to be fair. She went on to say, I was the third person to report something in that flat that season, and she was going to leave it empty for the rest of the year. I asked what the others had reported, and she just said similar, but that one of the girls had been so affected she went straight to the airport and left that night without a word. She didn't know any reason why it would be haunted, but after so many reports, now knew it must be true. I moved, and it just became an anecdote I'd tell on nights out. Then one night as I told the story, one of the guys said he'd heard it before from the girl behind the bar. I went over and talked to her. It turns out she was the first girl who lived there. We compared stories and everything was almost identical. I was gobsmacked. But then she said, you know why that place is haunted, right? Here we go. No, I said. She went on to explain, a guy, a holiday rep, had took a girl back to this apartment 2 years ago. Drugs were involved, but no one's exactly sure of what took place. But the next day, the girl was found dead on the bed from something she'd taken. Bloody hell, this has gone dark. And he'd hung himself in the bathroom. It's gone darker. It's midnight here. It's a sad, sad tale, I know, and I almost wish I didn't find out the cause, but I did. And now you know. Lots of love, Jenny. Well, well, effing well. That is terrifying. I think we can all agree the bride is shitting herself. That is phenomenal. What a tale. Oh, I've gone cold and Becca's still out. And it's not just the temperature, folks. It's me being freaked. I am now scared. I need to do something to take my mind off it before the next story. What can I do? I'm looking around the studio. It's just a spare bedroom. Thinking about what I can do. Oh, this sounds like it's set up, but it's not. I have, within reach, if I can reach, everybody's book of fate and fortune. You may remember this from earlier episodes. You know, the Oracle of Napoleon, where you could read people's faces, etc. I'm just going to randomly open this at any page, and I'm going to point to a sentence and say it. Hold on. Here we go. But at the same time, the reader must understand that the intimate details of his life are locked up in his own individual chart. It would be unscientific and dishonest not to point this out very clearly. And that was part of that book about horoscopes. Yes, thank you. Took me mind of it slightly. Probably not the best book to try and forget how to be scared. Forget how to be scared? No, to try and lose being scared. A book about weird devilness. Anyway. Let's have a minute and then we'll crack on. In fact, I'm going to need to have a little chill because I'm really freaked out. So I'll be back in 2 seconds. I'm back because, you know, I'm not going to literally leave you hanging. Yeah, back to normal now. Got a bit freaked out there. That was weird. Anyway, story two. This has came in from Cassandra. What a lovely name. Yes, Cassandra. Do you know Cassandra had foresight? Yes. And that's why... Oh, no, that's Cassiopeia. No, it's Cassandra. Anyway. Yes, and Cassandra's story goes thus. Hi, Kev. Big fan of the show. Binged all of the episodes and will be signing up to Patreon when I get paid. Oh, you don't, by the way, no one has to sign up to Patreon. I don't want to skint anyone through it, you know. Sign up if you can. If you can't, doesn't matter. This is always going to be free. Anywho, thanks, Cassandra. I appreciate it if you do that. But if you don't, that's fine too. Let's see. I just thought I'd email in with a story which happened to me and my sister in the late 90s. I love the late 90s. Oh, for a time machine and petrol. Anyway. It was a DeLorean, in case you're wondering. We're from France originally, but then lived in North Wales. We were in temporary accommodation at the time after selling our house before the new house was ready. Amateur move, I know. The house we rented was a large old house, I'd guess 1800s, just on the outskirts of a village, and in a not quite village, not quite countryside area. Good use of hyphens there, I like that. The house had land with it, including some old outhouses and a drive which led to the main road, which led to the village. We obviously explored these outhouses, in brackets, as you do. Yes, you do. And we were both spooked to find a small box which contained what I first thought was a planchette from a Ouija board. A heart-shaped piece of wood with very small wheels attached, and several pieces of paper with what looked like scribbles on them. We brought the box inside for a better look and emptied the contents out onto the table. On further inspection, there was a small piece of lead fixed to the underneath of the pointed end of the planchette, which, in brackets, if you move the planchette round on paper, would draw a line in the direction you pushed. I think I know what this is, says Kev. And many of you will too. Well done, everyone. Well done. Paper. My sister and I searched for hours on the internet and eventually found out that this was in fact an automatic writing planchette. I'm sure you're familiar with one, but for the listeners who aren't aware, it works similar to a Ouija board, as in you place your hands on it and the alleged spirits move the device to write a message. That's exactly what I thought it was. And you listeners, well done indeed. Let's all congratulate ourselves. We spent a good while at the computer screen looking at various ones and reading stories attached to them before it dawned on us that the paper with the scribble on it must have been someone's attempt at automatic writing. We were fascinated and eagerly looked through, turning the paper this way and that to try and make words out. My sister was convinced that she could make out her name, Anna, in the scrawl, but I pointed out that Anna could be seen in any scribble of up and down lines. That's a good point. Very rational of you. Well done. But it worried her very much. I put everything back in the box and placed it in a cupboard and we went to bed. The next morning I came downstairs first and opened the box and... Oh, sorry, I've read that wrong. It's more spooky than that. Listen to this. The next morning I came downstairs first and the box was slap bang in the centre of the dining room table. Not opened or anything, but there. Anna was still in bed, so I put the box back before she seen it. Deciding I'd ask some careful questions later to see if she admitted that it was her. Rather than telling her outright and risk her having a breakdown if not. Fair enough. At breakfast, she brought the box up first. How freaky is that box? I've thought of it all night. Yes, I said. Glad we put it in the cupboard. This was her chance to say, oh, I took it out, or similar, but she didn't. Instead, she said, ooh, imagine if we look and the box is gone. This convinced me she didn't put the box on the table, and therefore terrified me at what had. I'm not surprised. Anna opened the cupboard door. Ah, oh, boring, it's still here. Then reached into the cupboard and pulled out the planchette. Now, if you can picture it, the closed box was on a shoulder-height shelf and the planchette was in the box. But Anna's movement to get the planchette was fluid in and out, like getting a glass from a cupboard. She couldn't have opened the box and reached in that time. Do you think it's an antique? She said. Where was that? I asked, clearly startled. The cupboard where you put it. But you didn't go in the box. That's because it wasn't in the box, it was on top of it. Is that not how you put it back? I must have done, I said. However, I literally had put everything in that box not 30 minutes before. I was sort of giving myself time to rationalise it, I think, looking back, rather than screaming, ghost, lol. That's no lol. That's no lolling matter there, Cassandra. Let it go to Cassiopeia then. Anna suggested we use the planchette, saying it would be a laugh, but deep down I had an awful feeling. I couldn't rationalise anything. It was like I was losing my mind. I'm the rational one out of both of us, so I was very conscious that, firstly, it would be out of character for me to now start proclaiming that a piece of wood was haunted, and secondly, I knew Anna would find it fun at first, but then freak out really, really badly. Therefore, I felt, in brackets, wrongly looking back, that my only option was to smile and agree to giving it a go. Anna got some paper and put the planchette down. It's stuck, she said. It's not moving at all. You try. I placed my fingers next to hers and it just started moving immediately. Uh-oh. I felt my whole body pulse in fear, but smiled, lol. Stop putting lol. This isn't lol. This is unless lol stands for losing our lives, which it possibly does in this. Where are we? Lol. Ooh, it likes you, she says as it merrily glided along. Take your fingers off and see if it still works, she said. So I did, and it stopped dead. Cassandra, you need to run away and find a priest. Immediately. A young one and an old one. And it stopped dead. Anna gave out a nervous laugh, then said, you're a witch. Bang. The entire house shook. We jumped out of our skin. I could only imagine that the roof or attic had completely collapsed. Where are we? So much so that both of our reactions was to run into the backyard. What the, and then she's blocked out an expletive, was that? Anna said as we both stared at the house, expecting the top half to be gone, which it wasn't. It was like nothing had happened. We walked around the property and everything was fine. We went upstairs, and nothing was out of place. An earthquake? Anna said. Unlikely, but not impossible, I replied. We walked downstairs and sat down without saying a word for about 5 minutes. Finally, Anna said, did you notice it happened when I called you the W word? Shut up, I said, but I had, and it was playing on my mind greatly. Shall we put it back outside, she said. Yes, we should, I said. Probably too quickly, lol. This lol again, lose our lives. Anna started packing it back in the box as I put the kettle on. Oh, ha ha, very funny, she said with a big grin. What are you like? She was holding up a piece of paper, the paper we'd just used with the planchette. In clear cursive, that joined up. Oh yeah, double right. In clear cursive, it said the words, leave alone. My English lord, you need to run away. This is Kev now. It didn't say the rest of that. Hold on. For clarity, it just said, leave alone. It didn't say the rest. It was clear, not ambiguous. It wasn't just random loops. It was the words, leave alone, clear as day. I couldn't hide it from her anymore and told her it wasn't me and everything that had happened earlier. I watched her face go from spooked but happy to outright terrified. The box was back in the outhouse before you could say boo. We both slept in the living room for the next few nights before being brave enough to move back to our bedrooms. Once the box went back to the outhouses, nothing happened even remotely spooky, even once. Hope this gets read out and you and Becca are both well. Lol. She doesn't say lol there, but she may as well. Take care. I will. And no, in fact, you know what? You take care, Cassandra. Because that's bloody horrible. Can you imagine? My dad's got outside... Well, that sounds like he lives in, like, Downton Abbey. He doesn't. He has an outside toilet. Not an outhouse. We call it the outhouse. And it definitely doesn't have an old planchette in there. It's just got old boxes of cigarettes from when I used to smoke on the sly in there. Yes, as a child. As a child. I was 16 at the time, if you must know. Anyway, but that is brilliant. Cassandra, thank you very much. And I'm not bothered about you signing up to Patreon. If you want to, then brilliant. If you don't, then whatever. That story in itself is amazing. That's good enough payment for me, sir. Yes, madam even. If you've got a story as good as that, then please send that on. talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Those last two stories have genuinely freaked me. You know, like, have you read about people where they can build themselves up into a frenzy, where they go a little bit mad and they start thinking that everything that happens is paranormal? I think I'm not too far away from that, you know, genuinely. I mean, it's quite rare when I have to have a pause after a story, but that one freaked me out. And I haven't even drank that much coffee to explain it. Yes, yes. Just generally scared. Should we have a good sing song to stop being scared? Doo-ah-dee-doo-dee-doo, I'm in love with you, ah-dee-doo-dee-doo. Little bit of Blondie there. Denis, if you must know. Well, yeah, I think that's better. Yeah, bit of Blondie sorting me out there. My God, though, automatic writing. I knew it was that when you said, but it had a bit of lead underneath. I was like, ah, this sounds like a planchette to do automatic writing. Should we give it a go? That might be an idea for Halloween, if me and Becca do automatic writing. Can you imagine Becca's take on automatic writing? Honestly, it will literally be her going, you're just writing that, you balloon. And I'll be like, no, look at that. It says kill Becca. I'm not writing that, but I'd be very careful. Okay, so I think that's it for this episode. There is the bonus Patreon episode if you want more content. Obviously, you can go over to there, patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. I do need more of your stories because we've got like loads of content to get rid of, to use. Like, I've got loads of episodes coming up that I need to fill. God, I just can't speak today. Damn you, flu. Damn you, right to Hades. So do send that in. talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Any other comments you want to put on there, if you want to go and leave a one-star review, like the tomfoolery who did this morning, then go and do that too. I would love to hear from you. I do genuinely, sincerely appreciate every bit of feedback we get, even if it's one star. There was no real feedback in it, though. It was a bit nonsensical. So, yeah. But I do, and I love you all. And until next time, prepare for Halloween. It is coming. We love this month. We, the people listening to this right now, we love it more than everybody else. So, you know, if you get somebody saying, ooh, what are you doing for Halloween? Just reply. The same thing I've done in January, February, March, and throughout the year. I'm going to talk about ghosts, listen about ghosts, and look into ghosts because I love the spooky. And for anyone who's listening to this because it is Halloween and doesn't normally do it, hi. Ignore that last comment and welcome. Yeah, enjoy. Stay around. So, I love you all and we will listen. We won't listen. I will see you. I won't see you. Being too logical here for an ending. You've probably already gone. But if you're still here, I love you all. And I will speak to you. Yes, that's the ending. I will speak to you next week. So until then, I shall see you. And I will bid you adieu. Au revoir.
Hello, little girl.
It's just horrible.